mean, truly, if you listen to Steve Jobs, if you go back and listen to Gary Vee, any individual that, as we look at in terms of achieving success in these United States, you and I can identify with this concept that if what we're doing is what we're passionate about, we can really be successful and have a lot of fun doing it at the same time. So that's something everybody, you want to really take notice to that Billy just shared. Going from 10 hours to 70 really didn't matter. It was because you're enjoying what you're doing and have a passion for it that make all the difference. And such a key to real estate.
You're listening to the Appraiser Secrets Podcast with your host, Mark Jackson. You will get straightforward advice for how to make a profit on every new transaction that you do, compounding your net worth and growing your wealth substantially all through real estate. Get more information at appraisersecrets.com.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so very much for joining us for Appraiser Secrets Podcast today. I couldn't be more glad to have opportunity to care and share with each and every one of you, and certainly pleased to have my very, very special guest and host of the Unstoppable REI Wealth Podcast, Bill Alvaro. Thank you so much for saying yes, and thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me today, bud.
Absolutely. Surprisingly, when we first jumped in and started having our chat, it's amazing how far we go back, which really speaks to part of your story you're going to share today. I want to impress upon everyone, definitely listen to this, because one thing that we know for sure, when it comes to valuating property and the things we do to make sure we've got the right acquisition value and after repair value, so we know that we make a profit when we buy, when we're talking about relationships and our network, what we'll discover today, that if everything falls apart and you lose it all, it's your network that truly is your net worth to carry you forward, to get you started again. So Billy, come on in, man. Share a little bit about where you are, your background a little bit. And then I've got some really definitive questions I want to ask that's going to guide us through our time today.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. And you and I go way back. We met years ago, one of the Dan Kennedy events. I think it was like 15 years ago as such. And I've watched you grow over the years, and I've grown over the years, and we're in this circle together. So again, Mark, I appreciate you having me on. I mean, my story, I live now in New Jersey full-time. I'm a full-time investor for the last 12 years, and we have a diverse product and portfolio that we do. We are a primarily fix and flip rehabber. We have a large arm of the company that does do wholesale business, and then also we have a rental portfolio. The last 2 years, we've gotten into ground up building, condo development, drug rehabilitation centers that we own, old age facilities that we've been investing in. So it's a diverse business model that we have. And the last 3 years pre-pandemic, I've systematized this business to a point where I was working maybe 10 hours a week, 8 to 12 hours a week, if that. And pandemic hit, and I realized I'm reaching my 50th birthday, and I had a lot more that I wanted to accomplish. So I went from the 10 hour a week work week to now I'm back into 70 hours a week. And as you know, Mark, being in this business, if you love what you do, even though you work hard, you work long, it's really not work. It's like I wake up, I work from home, I work out, I do my meditation in the morning, and I just go right to work until 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night. I just make things happen all day long.
There you go. I mean, truly, if you listen to Steve Jobs, if you go back and listen to Gary Vee, any individual that, as we look at in terms of achieving success in these United States, you and I can identify with this concept that if what we're doing is what we're passionate about, we can really be successful and have a lot of fun doing it at the same time. So that's something everybody, you want to really take notice to that Billy just shared. Going from 10 hours to 70 really didn't matter. It was because you're enjoying what you're doing and have a passion for it that make all the difference. And such a key to real estate. But Let me kind of delve into our time together, Billy. One of the things that you shared just a little bit was transition from when we met, and then we know that the mortgage crisis hit. And there was a lot of different dynamics that happened, both good in that time, creating opportunity out of crisis, but also it caused a number of individuals to take some steps back. So when you started and got ready to re-go at doing real estate, to push the button, just like on a Monopoly game, pass, go, and say, I'm going to go forward. How did you get started? What was, step one, step two, step 12? What was the focus or your means a way to get started doing real estate and doing it well?
Good. So great question. And, you know, just to take them back to give them some context of what happened during that crisis, I was involved with a very large mortgage bank that I started from scratch. We were in the process of taking the company public. At the time, when the mortgage crisis was hitting, we were doing a little over $1 billion a year in loan volume, 950 employees, about $42 to $46 million a year in revenue. So it was a pretty large company. Exactly. As the bottom fell out, we were trying to go public. I ended up overnight, literally within a 6-month time frame, lost everything. So I went from making, you know, $1 billion a year in loan volume to $14 million in debt. So when I started in this industry, I really needed to get resourceful because I had no money. I had no job. I had no income. I had no credit. I literally had nothing except I had my experiences from building that last business. So I realized if I wanted to go forward and get involved with the real estate investing full time, I needed to do things differently because I had no money. So what did I do? I did have time. And I said, what in during this foreclosure crisis, as everybody, as you remember, Mark, in the investment world, people were running out of this business in droves. They were getting foreclosed on, investors like us losing their portfolio, and things were going upside down, sideways. I looked at it and I said, where's the opportunity? Opportunity was in REOs. The opportunity was in short sales, and the opportunity was in vacant homes. Mm-hmm. So I made it my business to learn that part of the business. And I studied it hard for 6 to 8 months, just understanding the nuances. And I kind of had a little bit of an edge because I did own a bank, because I did own a title company. I knew the nuances of the red tape of how to deal with these lenders. So I kind of had an edge over my competition. But again, mind you, I had no money. I had nothing. I was literally starting with $14 million in debt over my head.
Right.
So to get going, I just went out and I said, I have time. Let me start figuring out where these foreclosures are. And I literally just would drive blocks and take down addresses of properties that look vacant or look distressed.
Yes.
Back then, you know, the guys and girls these days, the kids, they have it easy with technology. Back then, we didn't have skip tracing services. Like, we had to go and do the homework of figuring out who owned that home and reverse merge. So it was a lot of manual labor. So my days were spent driving the roads, getting vacant properties and distressed looking properties. My nights were spent going through and researching to find out who owned these properties. And then I would block out 2 or 3 days during the week where all I would do was dial for dollars, or if it was a house that looked like it was occupied, I would go knock on the door. And by being resourceful that way and starting off, I got a lot of rejection. I had, you know, 101 no's to one yes. So I had to get, you know, used to getting the door slammed in my face or the phone slammed down. But when people are starting off, especially these days, a lot of the people that I interview and people that come to me with my podcast are like, I have no money. I have no experience. I don't know how to get going with this. You need money in real estate to make money. And that's a false statement. You need to be resourceful. You need to be able to do things differently from what other people are willing to do. And if you put yourself out there and realize you're going to fail, you're going to make mistakes, you're going to make things are not going to go your way. But if you keep on persevering, you keep on picking yourself up and going forward, eventually you're going to realize a deal is going to fall into your lap. You're going to make that deal happen. You might make your 5 or 10 or 20 or 30 grand, and then you just start reinvesting the profit. So when I got started with this, I had to restart myself. I started from ground zero, 14 million, had to restart, had to then grow, and then eventually had to scale the business and pull myself out to where I wasn't working but 10 hours a week and the company was making a few million dollars a year.
You brought out a couple of things. One, and everybody really hears, one of the things that Billy said was time. You know, if you don't have anything else, you know, as long as we're up, we're above ground, we're breathing, we've got time. And it's such an extremely valuable commodity that you want to put and take full advantage of. And it's amazing that you say that, because when you talk about the different types of assets, when you were getting started, those foreclosures, vacants, short sales, stuff like that. I mean, even right now, everybody, you know, right now we're in the midst of redoing our HUD deal training. And that's just a great way to identify still those cheap government houses out there where you don't literally, in getting started, you don't have to go drive for dollars and put down address. You can look right online the way technology has allowed us to move forward and getting started in doing real estate. So definitely join us or reach out to us so you can get some information about the restart, the redo of HUD deal training. So Bill, you left off with getting prepared to grow. So for everybody, as you're learning your niche, your space, utilizing and taking a valuation first approach in real estate. And now you've got some knowledge down pat, whether you're using the investor comp training or you're just using our valuation data to apply a different strategy. Billy, what does it take in your experience to grow a real estate investing business?
It's a great question. So the first thing I would tell anybody who's in that process where they're getting started and they're getting a little bit of traction, and now they want to start to grow this thing, the one thing you need to do is focus. So what do I mean by focus? You need to focus on a specific niche that you want to then make it your own that you're going to master. So a lot of mistakes I see people getting into this business, and myself included when I first got started, is that you go to a lot of these seminars, you go to a lot of these masterminds, and everybody, and listen, there's a lot of really smart people. Everybody has a niche that they're doing great at, they're excelling at. But what the challenge is, guys like us who are entrepreneurs, that red shiny object, we hear tax liens, we hear wholesale, we hear fix and flip, we hear buy subject to, lease options, sandwich lease options, commercial real estate. So the challenge that a lot of people have, a lot of folks have when they, after they have the ability to get started and they make a deal or two happen, is they start to widen themselves out and they disperse their energies on trying to do 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 different niches at one time. And what that does is it actually brings them back because they're not able to get traction. So what I would say to anybody listening, pick a niche that you want to get into, figure out what that is. And that's going to be based on what your ultimate goal is. For me, I needed, because I went bankrupt, I was $14 million in debt. So I, even though I wanted to build a rental portfolio, I could not start with the rental, at least I thought back then I couldn't start with the rental portfolio mindset because I needed chunks of cash. Yes. So for me, the quickest thing was wholesaling. So, and then once I learned wholesale and I made deals happen, okay, the next step is let me start doing some fix and flip. Once I got my fix and flip piece done, I didn't think about buying subject to and lease options and all this crazy crap. I focused on two things, and I focused on my acquisition model was REOs and short sales.
Yes.
And after I had this systematized and after I was able to process flow it out and then replace myself with somebody else who could handle the stuff that's important, but the stuff that I no longer needed to do, then I would build the next set of foundation, which might have been my direct mail campaign. And then the next one was my door knocking campaign. And the next one was the telemarketing campaign. So I had all these different campaigns I would build out. But the basis, the thing you have to get together and understand, you have to have focus on setting the foundation first and foremost. Yes. And to your point with your business, if you're getting into this business, you have to know what your ARV is, what your maximum allowable offer is, and you need quick, easy tools to figure those two things out and to figure out what the repair costs are. If you can get those pieces together, you're going to be able to make offers extremely quick, lock deals up, and then eventually turn these deals over and make a profit, whether it's keeping them in your portfolio, wholesaling them, or fix and flip them.
Yeah, that's really great feedback. The first thing, that focus, and also you touched on a number of things. I don't want to manspeak what you said, but the dynamic of being in a position where you take and look at just two areas that are going to allow you to go forward, not being drawn and pulled and doing different deals. It's that idea of if you're building a business, you got it producing a profit, or almost producing a profit. The last thing you want to do is go start doing another model, because now you're taking attention away from what eventually could actually be a very, very good business. But now it's never going to have the opportunity to produce because you can't put the same amount of effort in both things as you could in the one. And overwhelmingly, this idea of wholesaling and then flipping, because both of those produce capital. One takes a little bit more time, but starting with getting those chunks of cash from wholesaling so that you can then put in some capital into doing a renovation and making a larger check. But then you made that additional shift where now it's this idea, and I use this phrasing, Bill, you'll identify with it, buy two, sell one. Buy one for your capital, your cash to run your business, and then buy one to keep. That's going to be your long-term wealth building portfolio. And that's not exactly what you do, but everybody, as you're listening, it's a framework. You heard, as you're getting started, you got to know exactly how you're going to go about business, where as you grow, focus, put systems in place, replace yourself teaching and training someone to do the exact same things as you do, so that business that you started can continue to go as you do what? Now we're talking about scaling. This is where we want to really get into it for everybody that's engaging, using investor comps, listening and utilizing different training to grow your real estate investing business with focus, what do you use and are you using now that allows you to scale your business model, Billy?
It's a great question. So I've learned when I built the last mortgage company that you want to scale in such a way that your systems are really written out in a way that you can replace yourself with a person. Your business is system, it's system process, not personal. You're not depending on people. I'm saying it a little wrong, but it's not people dependent, it's system dependent. However, people and processes are equally as important, because if you have bad people in your organization with a great system, you're screwed. If you have a great system with poor people, you're screwed. So I always hear people speaking about systems, but systems and people, processes, they need to be married together. You need to have a process, a system for attracting talent. I think what we have one of the absolute best processes for driving in talent. I have a system for every position that they literally need to jump through hoops, and it's process flown and it's systematized. For example, we're hiring now two additional lead managers this week. Yes. And the ads that we put out in such a way, we got 650 responders for those ads. From the 650 people who responded, we only had 75 that responded the right way. Of the 75, through the process that we've taken through, again, it's a hiring system. Yes. We ended up with 25 people that we interviewed. From the 25, my acquisitions manager told me he has four that are absolutely rock stars. Now, if we would have done that hiring system a different way, we would have been looking through 650 resumes, not knowing who to contact. It's a system. Right. So getting back to scaling, if you're going to scale anything, you want to make sure you have your foundation set. You want to make sure that every position you're going to hire for, you have a simple process. Don't overthink it. A simple checklist of what needs to happen, and maybe a quick Loom video of you doing it or someone in your office doing it. So you can then take that process, put it into your CRM. And for us, we use Podio. Everything is process oriented through Podio.
Yep.
We have a new person that comes on onboarding. We have a checklist of 50 items for each position of exactly what their role is, the video series of exactly what they need to do. So when we bring somebody in now, we're not spending an inordinate amount of time trying to train them up. The system is already there, ready, getting ready for them to get trained up. Once they go through the process, they might have a couple of hours of questions that they don't really understand. But within a week, our people are up and running. And so the whole scaling thing is you want to make sure you have your marketing systems in play. Mm-hmm. Because without marketing, marketing is the lifeblood of all businesses. Without leads, you have no business. So you want to have your marketing systems in play. You want to have your acquisitions process in play, and that incorporates your process, your systems and tools, because they're critical to getting a person to the next level. Having that software is critical. You want to have your operational process put together, your process to underwrite and rehab a property put together, your process for bringing somebody in as far as recruiting put together, your process for raising money. Everything in our business, in my business, is a system, process, and then there's a person who's accountable to oversee it. But I have to tell you, it takes time.
It does.
When I set this business up, the first 6 years was me literally working in the business and on the business simultaneously. Right. And I got it to a point, Mark, where by the time I was in, maybe it was 8 years in, I didn't have to work. I was 10 hours a week. The business was fully operational. I got my KPI dashboard. I had my reports. I would be on a phone call every Wednesday from 9 to 12, and then a few hours during the week, and I was done.
There you go.
The one thing I found is that I am not happy unless I constantly grow. If I stay status quo, I get bored. Yeah. So I had even though I had a good time and I was enjoying life when I was working 10 hours, I'm a grower and I needed to go out and grow. And I think the pandemic, as bad as it is for a lot of people in America, where people got sick and people died and people losing their business, for me, it was a blessing because it got me out of my comfort zone. It forced us to close our two offices and go 100% virtual. And it gave me that fire to say, you know what? You've been kind of hanging out, even though business is doing good. You're chilling out. It's time for you to kick it back up. And so I'm on this whole process. I started the podcast and I'm out growing this business again and getting into commercial development. And I feel like the next 20 years, I have a lot to offer, a lot to bring to the table. And I'm extremely excited about it.
Yeah, it's amazing. You hit on a couple of different things there. And if anything, I'm just going to pick on the last one. You know, as all of us season in life, we can hear, you know, being part of the investor comps community, each and every one of you that's listening, this dynamic of, as Bill just said, you know, just turned 50, 20 more years to go, there's a great book. You've probably heard of it. So maybe some of you have read it. It's Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. And one of the things he talks about in there is the most significant things in life don't happen until we get into the full seasoning of our life. We do a lot of building, but your most significant impacts happen in this realm. So you're building and building and building. You're going to do great things. You're going to build families. You're going to build economies of scale for your community. But overwhelmingly, the meaningful and lasting things that you do will happen in that seasoning in life. So just look forward to it, get ready for it, because it is a very, very special time. You mentioned using Podio. That is a P-O-D-I-O. Everybody, that's a great system for almost any business to scale and move forward. Communication, automation for the different tasks that you want to do, including, Bill, you also mentioned Loom, L-O-O-M. It's a video recording platform. You can actually create different videos for training and then host it inside of Podio for the different team members, even your bird dogs. As you scale your business at whatever level, it's a really good tool. And Podio is actually owned by Citrix, which runs GoToMeeting, GoToWebinar, Zoom, in fact. So they're a very robust entity. They're not going to be going away. It's not a Podio is not a fly-by-night type software entity, that type of thing. So overwhelmingly use that. And then I recommend too, you mentioned KPIs, which is key performance indicators. A number of you probably caught that right away as you were saying it, but KPIs, key performance indicators, those things you track to make sure that you're moving towards your goals. And you probably are familiar with this book, Traction, by Joe Wickman, which talks about the Entrepreneur Operating System, EOS. And that's another way to utilize different means or ways to scale, and probably in its own way allowed you to do that 10 hours a week. A couple of key meetings, cover the KPIs, everything's going well, or we need a tweak right here so we can adjust where we're overperforming, maybe where we're underperforming, where focus needs to be. But this opportunity, this change in time, which certainly is a crisis, but obviously create a new opportunity for you as well to bring you back into the saddle, without a doubt, Billy. I think that's probably one way of expressing it.
You hit it on the head. I mean, to a T, Mark. I couldn't have said it better myself.
There you go. Well, I do try, my friend. I do try. We've got a couple of other synergies. For everybody, you know that we're hosting the Investor Comps Go Higher Mastermind, which is going to take place July 22nd through 24th. In San Juan, Puerto Rico. We're going to add a link in the description for this podcast so you can actually get more information about that. There's tremendous tax advantages utilizing and being and operating your business from the territory of Puerto Rico, which is part of the United States. And Billy and I both are going down that, but we're also going to be sharing a wealth of information about those advantages when we have the Go Higher Mastermind, as well as covering some really dynamic things about real estate strategies and how we all can grow together. Again, this Go Higher Mastermind is just that, a group of all like-minded individuals that not only are looking to really establish the business, but to grow it and to scale it. Billy, I can't thank you enough for saying yes, and of course, taking time to be with you and your gracious shares, opening up your soft underbelly, talking about what it is to get hit on the head, but yet turn around and recover and go forward. I wish you continued great success. And I'm really excited about our coming back together and the new conversations we'll be having in the future.
For sure. And I might be joining you out in Puerto Rico, because as you know, my whole trip is I'm going out there for a month. So I might join you for that mastermind.
There we go. Good stuff. Everybody, blessings and joy. Definitely continue to hit that subscribe button if you're new to the Appraiser Secrets Podcast so we can have you with us. Utilize your smart speaker. Just say Appraiser Secrets Podcast so you can get the most recent episode. Other than that, take your care. God bless. We'll see you next time.
Take care, bud.
You've been listening to another episode of the Appraiser Secrets Podcast with Mark Jackson. The place to be to create your freedom lifestyle with more time off, security, and peace of mind. Find out more at appraisersecrets.com.